And the Lord appeared again in Shiloh.
So Shiloh is a place where your inheritance is released. It's a place of encounter with God for the conferment of dominion.
Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning because just as it has been declared by your servant, this shall truly be our great morning of encounter. Send your word, O Lord. Make it effectual. Make it run swiftly. Make it impactful. In the end, we'll give you the glory for it. In Jesus' wonderful name. And all who believe, say a loud amen. Close to 32 years now, as a late teenage, I was privileged to meet with a prophet. He didn't seem to have the look of it at that time, but God gave me the privilege to see and find in him a man to follow. And since the day God gave me the privilege to meet him, my soul got married to him. Amen. Until today, I'm not tired of following. Amen. Because I have seen a man that motivates you to love God and to crave after the things of God. And I'm grateful to God today because I'm not only given the privilege to follow, I've been blessed and I've been given the privilege to follow with proofs. It's my joy, it's my privilege to receive such impartation at all times. I want to thank God for the humbling experiences of my life, to see things work in my hand just as it is working in his hand. Just like demons, robbers, assassins, kidnappers listen to him, when I speak, they listen to me as well. Amen. Sometimes ago, somebody came to me, he said, my brother is kidnapped. And I asked, what do you want? Because I like to ask people what they want. He said, I'd like you to speak to them. I said, okay, call them now. And when he called them, I said, now release that man with you. He said, what did you say? I said, release him now. By the following day, I got the news, the man was released without ransom. So why do you think I should stop following if this is the way it works? Amen. To God be the glory. Today I'd like to appreciate my father in the faith, Bishop David Oyedepo, for such largeness of heart given to me at all times. And I will be bringing a word to you again under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. And I know that truly you shall be blessed. In the precious name of Jesus Christ. The greatest spiritual virtue is faith. Just like we were told at the opening through the teaching of God's servant last night. And it is interesting to know that the greatest attack being launched against any spiritual virtue is the attack on faith. Faith is the most attacked spiritual virtue. And the reasons are obvious. Jesus saw an attack coming to Peter. It was an attack on his faith. If you check all through the Gospels, It was only on the subject of faith that Jesus promised to pray for Peter. Jesus prayed just one public prayer for his disciples in John chapter 17. But when it came to the subject of faith, Jesus said to Peter in Luke 22 verses 31 and 32, I have prayed for you that your faith faileth not. Verse 32 specifically. I have prayed for you, because I see Satan is out to sift you as wheat. You know what that means? Faith is the stabilizing force of destiny. When faith is gone, what remains can be sifted. Faith stabilizes destiny. Satan was out to sift Peter on the account of attacking his faith. So without faith, destiny is unstable. Faith is very crucial. It does not only impress or please God, it also threatens Satan, because it has the power to subdue all class of devils and oppositions. In Ephesians 6:16, he said, above all, faith is always above all, taking the shield of faith wherewith you shall be able. Faith enables people. Put faith in the hand of a weakling, it becomes enabled, by which you shall be able to quench. To quench means to put out of existence. To quench all fiery darts of the wicked one. And you agree with me, there are fiery darts of the wicked everywhere. But he said, by faith you shall be able to put off all class of devils. They asked Jesus someday, why could we not cast out devil? He said, because of your lack of faith. Faith is the arrowhead of destiny. Everywhere faith goes, it penetrates. Faith does not know resistance. Everywhere it goes, opposition bows to it. And as I'm speaking to you now, that faith is penetrating into all situations of your life. Everything goes to work when faith is at work. Everything goes to work when faith is at work. So if you want things to work for you, put faith to work. I had God's servant said last night that everything acquired in this ministry is acquired by faith. By faith. Jesus' disciple looked at him someday in John chapter 6, verses 28 and 29. Having seen the way things were working under him, they asked him, Master, what shall we do to walk the kind of walk you are walking? And Jesus said to them, this is the walk of God. That is, this is to walk the walk of God, that ye believe on him whom he has sent. So faith is the worker. Everywhere faith goes to work, things are bound to work. Beginning from this Shiloh, everything around your life will work. Just like it is working in this ministry. Just like it is working in the life of our Father. Everything from today will work in your life. Satan is attacking your faith because he knows that by it everything works. Until faith fails, nothing fails. Faith failure is fatal failure. If your faith fails, forget any other thing, everything will fail. Faith is the key that connects you to God's glory. John 11:40, said not I unto thee, if thou wouldest believe it, thou shouldest see the glory of God. Faith in God connects you to glory from God. And that is to say that faith terminates shame and brings about your glorious destiny. What more? Faith is the performer. Luke chapter 1 verse 45. Blessed is she that believes. For there shall be a performance of the things which are told her from the Lord. When faith is at work, performance is in view. When faith is at work, performance is in view. Every time you believe what God says, then expect the performance of the words. I know that everything God has spoken to you concerning Shiloh 2011 shall be performed. Faith is what gives identity. Faith is what makes destiny to count. Genesis 15:5. Abraham believed, and it was counted for him to be right. He believed. It was counted for him. Faith makes destiny to count. That is what is making this ministry to count today. Those who stand by faith usually end outstanding. All through the record of Hebrews chapter 11, all the names mentioned there were attached to faith. By faith, Noah. By faith, Abel. Through faith, Abraham. Through faith, Sarah. By faith. The reason why they are living even after their death is because faith was their backbone. That is why I have observed that certain ministries have refused to die even when the founders were dead, because they were faith ministries. Faith don't die. Those who hold to faith may depart from the world, but they don't die, because faith lives on. The encounter you're going to have at Shiloh 2011 will truly be an encounter of glory to glory. Now, it's important for us to understand, however, that there are certain things that makes faith to work. We want to quickly look at, in this series of teaching, the kind of faith that works. The kind of faith that works. The faith that will work must, first of all, number one, must be personal. It must be personal. Faith is a personal adventure, not a joint adventure. There is nothing like we are believing God together. God never calls people together. He calls them individually. The call to faith is personal. You were saved personally. Nobody could believe for you to be saved. He said, if you believe in your heart. That is why faith is not conferable. You can't confer faith on someone. Even in the prophetic, when virtue is being transferred, the recipient have to believe in the transferer. That's why I said, believe in the Lord your God, you shall be established. Believe also in his prophets. No matter how anointed a prophet is, if he puts the rod in your hand and there is no faith in you, you will be like Gehazi. So faith is not conferable. Faith is personal. I used to say, it's not only me that had the privilege of following God's servant, but it is not for all of us who are following him that the thing is working for. It has to be by a personal faith. As it is in God's word, faith that will work must be personal. Your faith may be inspired by someone else, but your faith cannot be worked out for you by someone else. It is personal faith that bath personal victory. It is personal faith that bath personal testimonies. That's why when it comes to sharing testimony, there is no joint testimony. Each person shares his testimony from his personal encounter, from his personal challenges that he went through by faith. No wonder in Habakkuk chapter 2 verse 4, the Bible says something very clear there. It said, the just shall live by his faith. Please take note of the word his. The just shall live by his faith. It's not an open faith. It did not say the just shall live by faith, even though that's what is written in some other following scriptures. related to this, but this one is very specific. That Joshua shall live by his faith. His faith. His faith. Everything about your life is up to your faith. Everything about your life is up to your faith. I like to repeat that as many times as I can. Everything about your life is up to your faith. Everything about your life is up to your faith. It is to each person according to his faith. Matthew chapter 9 verse 29. He said, be it unto you according to your faith. It is to each person according to his faith. According to your faith. That is in the measure of your faith. God responds to each of us according to our faith. If your faith is zero, you get zero response. If your faith is 30%, you get 30% response. You cannot be blamed for what is happening. You cannot blame anyone for what is happening to you. If you have any question to ask, ask your faith. It is up to you according to your faith. There are many that were called to ministry. The same time God's servant was called into ministry. But the effect of ministry years after is according to each person's faith. Is according to each person's faith. Some started ministry doubting, singing songs of pains even before they started. God knows the way to the wilderness. All I have to do is to follow. That's the song I hear some people sang. That ministry. So, 20 years after, it is according to the wilderness experience that he sang about. Some other person started and said, I will make it. Jesus made it. I will make it. My Jesus made it. I will make it. I put my trust in the Lord. I will make it. For Jesus made it. So, years after, he continues to blaze the trail because it is up to your faith. Everything about you and your life is up to your faith. If you believe it can be done, it can be done. If you say, look, this is difficult, it remains difficult. He said, the kingdom of God is preached and every man presses into it. It's personal. Luke 16:16. It will interest you to know that the doubt of 1,000 persons cannot tamper with the faith of one person. God does not operate by public opinion. God does not respond to polls. God responds to faith. If he can find one person believing, he will go to work. Someone is seated somewhere now as I'm talking. Faith is working for you now in the name of Jesus. The woman with the issue of blood went through the crowd. You know what Peter said? Peter said, many people are thronging you. How can you say somebody touch you? Many people are thronging. Jesus said, there is someone here with faith. There is someone here with faith. And only that one woman who touched by faith got what she was looking for. God does not respond to crowd. He responds to faith in someone. That person is here this morning. I said that person is here this morning. That person is here this morning. Mark 10:52. Jesus said to blind Bartimaeus, according to your faith, receive your sight. He said, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. There were many blind people that day, but the day someone believed became his own day. This Shiloh shall be someone Shiloh. Luke 17:19. When one leper returned to thank God for the healing, Jesus said, "Go thy way. Thy faith hath made thee whole." 10 of them were cleansed, one returned in faith. And Jesus said, "Thy faith has made thee whole." I see someone receiving wholesomeness of the faith from here in the precious name of Jesus. If you are the one, say a loud amen. You are rated and rewarded to the proportion of your faith. You are rated and rewarded to the proportion of your faith. Where your faith stops is where your adventure stops. Where your faith stops is where your blessing stops. And thank God, because faith is a growing virtue, your blessing can become a growing blessing. Shout hallelujah. The closest person to the woman with the issue of blood did not get healed. Faith is limited, or blessings are limited, to one who believe. To one who believe. Quickly, how do you develop personal faith? Number one, be individualistic in your approach. Be individualistic in your approach. You may be in a congregation, but forget about who is next to you. Forget about who comes and who does not come. Be individualistic in your approach. In a race, many run. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 24. But only one received the prize. So, run that you may be the one that obtains. Be individualistic. Drop your crowd consciousness. God calls individuals. He answers individuals. You can see that in the references earlier made. The woman with the issue of blood, she was too conscious of herself that she was not intimidated by the crowd she saw. Neither did she consider the weakness of her body. She's been anemic over the years. For 12 solid years, she was dropping blood. So she was weak. Secondly, she must not be found in a crowd, according to the Jewish law. Every woman doing menstruation is not allowed to appear in the public, in their law. This woman took the risk, not afraid that she may be caught and be stoned to death. And she went among men, including going through Peter. I personally believe that Peter was like the bodyguard for Christ. Jesus was on the high sea, was by the seashore. When he saw Peter on the high sea, the way he was casting it, very, very wide man. And Jesus said, "Peter, I will need somebody like you to stand by me. Come." That's why when Jesus said, "Somebody touch me," Peter said, "How can somebody touch you when I'm here? How can someone touch you when I'm here?" But this woman waded through. She waded through because she was individualistic. She broke all protocols, just like faith would do. Faith disregards protocol. Faith in the natural does not function by decency. Because she, you see, your strength lies in your individualistic mentality. That is where your strength is. That I am alone in this race. She pressed because she was conscious of individuality. If you look at the story of Hannah in Shiloh, several times before then, she would complain and buffet everybody, buffet herself. But this time around, she went as an individual. You may come from a far place, from Nigeria or beyond, to Shiloh ground here. Even though you came as a group, you must stand before God as an individual. Hannah went and stayed in a corner somewhere. The Bible says, even though her voice was not heard, but her lips was moving, she was connecting. And in the end, she had something to show. After Shiloh 2011, you will have something to show. Testimonies are the most authentic proof of an encounter. If you don't have a testimony, then you did not have an encounter. Testimony is the most authentic proof of an encounter. The following year, Hannah came with her baby. She had a testimony. Testimony is the most authentic proof of an encounter. But it all begins by being individualistic in your approach. Being individualistic in your approach. Number two, refuse to be pitied. Refuse to be pitied. Faith does not take pity. Personal faith does not take pity. People may pity you, but refuse their pity. Rather, accept responsibility for the change that you desire. Accept responsibility for the change that you desire. In all cases of people whose personal faith worked for them, they accepted personal responsibility for every step that they took. And number three, go for a personal search in the world as it relates to your issues. Go for a personal search. We have had testimonies of people here over and over again. Somebody said, I took the book, You Shall Not Be Barren, and I read it 7 times. And on page so, I contacted a word. Somebody said, after a service, I took a book and I read it in one sitting. And immediately after that, my husband appeared to me. Go for personal search, because there is a word for everyone in any situation that he finds himself in. The great records of Revelation was a result of someone who personally went for a search. Revelation chapter 1, verses 9 and 10, John said, I was on the island of Patmos for the word of God. For the word of God. What you go for is what comes to you. For the word of the Lord. For the word of the Lord. Go for a personal search. Now, whatever is personally owned was personally earned. You can't call something on your own without earning it. Whatever is personally owned is personally earned. Whatever is personally possessed was personally acquired. So if faith must be personal to you, then you have to personally acquire it. You have to personally earn it. You have to pay the price for it. And once you get it, it remains with you. We have heard over and over again God's servant talking about how he assessed the word of prosperity, went for a search.
and then encountered the word
of prosperity,
and that became personal to him. It became personal to him.
And the effect of it is everywhere today. There is a word concerning your situation. As you personally search for it as Shiloh, you will get it.
So the faith that works must be personal. Number two, the faith that works must be heart-born. Faith that works is faith of the heart, not faith of the head. Faith of the head consents. I believe. Oh, I believe. I've had that before. I believe. I believe it can happen. But ask somebody, can it happen to you? Well, I'm not sure. But I know it can happen. That is consent. It's different from the faith in the heart. When faith is born in the heart, it makes the heart to burn. When faith is born, B-O-R-N, in the heart, it makes the heart to burn, B-U-R-N. Living faith is burning faith. It burns. The heart is the resting place of faith. Romans 10:10. If you believe in your heart, if you believe in your heart. So when faith is in your heart, you will know. Because faith is substance. According to Hebrews chapter 11 verse 1. Faith is substance and it is substantial. It is measurable. It is tangible. When it is there, you know. When it is not there, you know. When faith enters into your heart, it will make you restful inside, but restless outside. That is to say, it will move you. It will make you behave like a drunk. It will drive you. Now, I'm showing to you how to know whether faith actually enters into your heart or not. It will give you rest inside, but will make you restless outside. It will be poised for action. That's why everyone who truly believed God of the patriarchs of faith, they did something to show that they truly believe. When faith is there, it will be assuring within, but assaulting without. You'll be assaulting the devil, assaulting sickness. It will give you assurance in your heart, but it will be confronting the oppositions around you. That's why people of faith are both restful and restless. Restful within, assuring within, but acting without. When faith is inside, it makes you resolute within, but revolutionary without. It makes you violent, fighting against the things standing on your way. It puts you on the run. It makes you driving. When faith entered into Abraham, the Bible says, he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief. Romans chapter 4, verses 19 and 20. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief. But he was strong in the faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded. Being fully persuaded. He was calm within, but he was persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform. So faith is of the heart. Hear this again. When faith is heart-born, it will be heart-burning. It will be heart-burning. It will be burning in your soul. It makes you restless that to do according to the word of the Lord. So faith that will work is not of the head, but it is of the heart. The resting place of faith is your heart. The resting place of faith is in your heart. When it gets there, it becomes restful, ready to walk. The faith that will walk, first of all, must be personal. And then, number two, it must be heart-born. How do you assess, or rather, how do you develop faith in your heart? Romans chapter 10, verse 17. God's word is capsules of faith. Every time God's word is preached, the mission is to develop faith, to produce faith. Faith cometh by hearing. Now, see, faith is not to be assumed. Faith is to be built. Faith is to be purchased. Faith is to be acquired. Never assume that you have faith. Because faith is word-based. If you don't have a word, then you don't have faith. Because faith is substance to the things, or of the things, the word, the things in the word that we hope for. Faith comes by hearing the word. And hearing the word. I've heard God's servant said, the first hearing is the hearing with the physical ear. And then the second hearing is the hearing of your inner ear. That's why it has happened to many of us. When you first heard a word on healing, you are wondering, can this be true? And then when you heard it the second time, you are adjusting yourself. This may be true. And you heard it the third time, I said, this may be true. And you heard it the fourth time, then you dive into it. So not everybody develops faith at the first hearing. That's why it is necessary for you to keep hearing it. So number one step to developing faith of the heart is continuous hearing of the word. Continuous hearing of the word. In church one day, I just said from God's word, I cannot be sick. And somebody sat on the gallery, according to his testimony later, he said, was very furious. How can someone be as blasphemous as this? Meanwhile, he had three different afflictions, ranging from 8 years to 12 years, according to him, high blood pressure, hypertension, and the one other affliction. He had a can of drugs that he takes at home. And he got back home that day, ready to take the next dose. And the word came to him, I cannot be sick. And the can dropped from his hand. Let us leave this thing for a while. He left it the whole day, he didn't take the drug. He left it the next week, he didn't take the drug. He left it the next month, he didn't take the drug. 1 year, he said, I must go and share my testimony. Now, he became an addict of, I cannot be sick. He had it the first time, he reacted to it. And then he had it the second time. That is why Satan will want to stop you from hearing this thing. He doesn't want you to hear it. Faith enters the heart by loading the word. You load the word. How does bullets get into gun? It is by loading it. Bullet can't enter gun by itself. Bullet enters the gun by loading it, in the same way faith enters into our heart by loading the word. Loading the word. You keep loading the word. Faith comes by hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing.
Shout hallelujah. And that's why faith is not for lazy people. I see people who go from place to place. Hey, pastor, pray for me. Pastor, pray for me. You tell them, read this book. They say, no, I just want sharp, sharp prayer. Sharp, sharp prayer. Some say, I want hot prayer. Hot, hot prayer. Pastor, make it hot. Hot prayer. When this faith enters, it burns in your heart. Now, the disciples that Jesus met on the way to Emmaus, after he opened their eyes, in chapter 24 of Luke, Luke 24, verse 32, you know what they said? He said, did not our heart burn when he spake to us? Did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us? So every time you are receiving the word of faith, it burns your heart to believe. Shout hallelujah. Next to continuous hearing, take personal responsibility to study. Study. We had God's servant elaborate on that very much last night. Study. Study. Get your Bible. Get anointed books. Listen to teachings on CDs and other electronic media. Study. Study. Paul speaking to Timothy, 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 13, he said, till I come, give attendance to reading. Give attendance to reading. Give attendance to reading. Now, very importantly, as I round up, to develop a heart-born faith, meditate on the word. Number one, continuous hearing. Number two, personal studies. And number three is meditation. First Timothy chapter 4, verse 15. Meditate upon these things. Give thyself wholly unto them that thy profiting may appear to all. Meditate upon these things. Now, what is meditation in the light of the subject of faith? Meditation is spiritual reasoning. Spiritual reasoning. Spiritual alignment. Spiritual positioning. If the word says it took my sickness, in your meditation, you begin to ask questions. What does it mean to take? If it is taken, that means it is no longer there. Meditation creates an atmosphere for faith to be enhanced. He said, give and it shall be given to you. I've been given. What's happening? God was saying, it shall be given to me. It shall be given to me. And then you start building up your faith to be a receiver when you have been a giver. As a young student, when I first entered school, I had some crisis of failure. And one day, I pushed all the books aside and picked the book. And I stumbled into Colossians chapter 3, verse 3. In him is hid all treasures of wisdom and understanding. In him is he, and he is in me. If wisdom is in him and he is in me, then wisdom is in me. That terminated every trace of failure, because faith to succeed was built. So faith enters into your heart, which is the resting place, which is the platform on which it works. As you keep hearing and hearing and keep studying and studying and keep reasoning and reasoning and reasoning in meditation, suddenly faith becomes established in your heart. This is the way it works. It must be personal. And number two, it must be heart-born. I know faith is burning in your heart right now. I know someone is here personally connecting to the source of heaven right now.
You shall not leave Shiloh 2011 with shame. You shall leave Shiloh 2011 with glory and honor. Believe that, rise to your feet with me now. And raise your hand, begin to declare, my faith is working. My faith is working. Raise your hand and declare it, my faith is working. My faith is working. My faith is working. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Blessed be the name of the Lord forever. Now I'd like you to pray just one more prayer before we go into the time of praising God. I want you to pray like Anna prayed. Forget about who is next to you. Lord, I accept personal responsibility. I don't care about who is here or who is not here. I am here on business. I am getting what I'm looking for here at Shiloh. Lord, I stretch out to you by faith. I come out like the woman with the issue of blood. I come out like blind Bartimaeus. And I cry out in faith to receive your touch, to receive your blessing. Upon the ground, Shiloh, wherever you are at the viewing center, the same effect is reaching out to you. The same blessing is reaching out to you. Lord, I accept responsibility of faith. I will no longer be cast down. I don't care who is around or who is not around. I'm taking my portion. I'm taking my blessing. I'm taking my portion. I'm taking my blessing. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Blessed be God forever. In Jesus' precious name. Lift up your hand. Now I decree that it shall be to you according to your faith. Whatever you believe God for now, under this prophetic atmosphere, as I stand on this prophetic altar, I declare that it is to you now according to your faith. So shall it be. Give Jesus a big hand, everybody.
Let me hear your voice.